Chapter 42. A Lull. It was that odd moment at the end of the year and the beginning of another. There were always so many events crammed into these months, and then, all of a sudden, there was a drought of activities until the spring. It was a kind of lull in the world, as most people just seemed to be waiting for spring. The new year was a time for reflection. Reflecting on my choices over the last year, I can safely say that I didn't regret a single one, especially the decision to leave the sect. Hell, transport me back in time and I'd do it all over again. Things had been good to me here, mainly the people and what we'd done together. I had always been a fan of festivals, even the mostly overpriced crap they were back before. Wandering around with a pack of friends, shooting the shit and having a good time? Sign me up. While the solstice was held in the village, as many people as could be spared had gone to Verdant Hill for the actual New Year. Hong Yao-Wu could certainly put on a party, but it was nothing compared to what had happened at Verdant Hill. Fireworks and an entire town-wide party had been an interesting experience. Almost as interesting as the amount of stupid shit the drunks got up to. You know, I never really liked New Year's celebrations before I had gone to one here. The ones back in the before had been so boring to me. Sit around, normally we'd be at home because it was so goddamn cold, and watch the ball drop. Sure, there were some parties and stuff, but it never really felt like as much of an event as the Lunar New Year was. Or maybe I just hadn't gone to the right parties. I certainly liked the Lunar New Year more than anything I had done before. Most of our time in Verdant Hill had been spent in a buzzed haze or eating something. Elder Xian eventually got so sloshed that he started singing the same song about the whore that Mei Ling had, his arm wrapped around Bao's shoulders. Mei Mei had left out of embarrassment, dragging me along with her, as the town got increasingly rowdy. We had visited Ting Feng and Mei Hua, the latter of whom was beginning to show pregnancy. It would still be a couple of months, and she was due in the spring. I had also finalized some deals and checked on the progress of some glass merchants. The house needed proper windows. I currently didn't have any, as I was too worried about heat loss during the winter, and I could just open the door if I wanted to air everything out. Now, though, with spring on the way, and the days already starting to get a bit warmer after the Lunar New Year, it was time to complete everything I needed to get done. There was paradoxically less and more work in the winter. It was a bit surreal to be teaching this stuff to animals, but they took to it rather well. These were the standard repairs, as well as feeding the animals, though there was nothing to grow and tend to besides the spirit herbs. But where there was a lack of labor, there was a massive increase in planning, now that I actually had some time. Fields needed to be plotted, seed considered, and logistics codified. It was a lot of work deciding everything. I had been keeping track of my food consumption, and that of my disciples, to see how much I could sell the next year, and roughly how much I could grow. I was also thinking of things that I would need in the future. It was boring work, frustrating work, drawing on half-remembered logistics lessons that I had never really had to use. It was stressful, especially now that I was guaranteed to have another mouth to feed with Mei Ling. I never wanted her to go hungry. If I wasn't constantly reviewing my numbers, I was working on other things, like making good on my promise to my disciples. Now that's all the questions. Everybody ready? Bidi's great master stood before them at the head of the room, his arms behind his back. They had received a test that day, not of the body, but of the mind. Bidi would endeavor to do his best. They all would. His great master had spoken true. He had an enormous amount of things to teach them, from reading the characters that conveyed knowledge to math and science. It was all, according to the master, basic. But it was difficult. The great master was a calm and patient teacher. He would explain it as many times as was needed. Though they still had difficulty communicating without Sister Rizu, he could tell if they were confused or not understanding the material. Unfortunately, there was a great lack of understanding on Brother Chongqi's part. It was vexing that he lagged behind so greatly, but Bidi spoke not a word of rebuke to his brother. His head wound still caused him difficulty some days, and thus he was slower in learning. His boundless physical energy coursed through his body, and when forced to sit for long periods, he began to fidget. His self-control was lacking, but if he had not been rebuked by the master, how was it Bidi's place to do the same? They cultivated different styles. Brother Chungki required much exercise and play to reach his potential and seemed to gain limited value from meditating. Not that Brother Chungki's style allowed him to sit still for too long. It was so overwhelming for Chungki at times that the master had to send him outside to run laps before coming back in. Bidi put it out of his mind and focused on the numbers he had been given. Something deep in his soul told him that the characters he was using were wrong. That one was supposed to be a line that was horizontal with the ground, wasn't it? This one was straight up and down. And the number two should be two lines, and not this strange, swooping shape. He didn't know how he knew this, but it was a little itch in the back of his head. He ignored it. This was the great master's profound wisdom. It was naturally superior to any gut instinct Bidi could have, because it came directly from his lord. Though that same gut instinct did seem to concede that this was an easier way to do the problems he had been given, especially when arranged in one of the math formations. He held the piece of chalk in his beak as he swiftly completed the problem set before him. While his slate was small, Brother Chungki had an entire slab of stone in order to practice, and a large brush. Sister Pipa had the fine dexterity that she would be able to have a small slate. She too had been given a larger one so that Brother Chungki did not feel like he was different. There was a splash, and Washi slapped his fins on the water, looking smug. This new trough allowed him a great amount of maneuverability and allowed him to partake of the lesson as well. At first, the fish had cared little for the great master's teachings, content with his lot in life. Then the great master had said he would give him a small parcel of food for every correct answer. Now, Washi was his most dedicated and skilled student. The master nodded at the fish and went to look over the answers to his questions. Bidi redoubled his efforts. After Bidi completed his task, he let out a call to inform the great master and waited. He received a nod, and the great master went to look over his answers. In the end, it was a perfect score. "Good job, Bidi," his master complimented quietly, as he fed Washi his promised reward. The glutton eagerly ate his fill. The next to finish was Sister Tigu, who got but a single question wrong, though he assumed that this might have been on purpose. She was picked up and placed in the master's lap so that they could review what she had done wrong. A mere miscarrying of a number, something easily fixed. But she remained in her place, purring contentedly after she was done. Finally, it was time for Chungki and Pipa. The boar was nervous, shuffling his trotters, while Sister Pipa was calm, awaiting judgment. The master gazed upon them, his face pulled into a slight frown. "Pipa, you got the same answers wrong as Chungki," he stated, and the sow raised her head primly. The master's gaze held no recrimination. "It's fine to be loyal, Pipa, but harming yourself and holding yourself back serves no place here. Everybody learns at their own pace, and I'll spend as much time as I need to with him." Pipa frowned and looked at the floor, embarrassed that her plot had been discovered. "Now I'm going to ask you to do this again while I go over things with Chungki. I know you can do better than this." The sow nodded. The master then sat with his slowest disciple, affectionately rubbing the top of his head. "All right, you did a good job here. You tried. I can see that you were showing your work, which is good. It helps us to figure out where you went wrong." Bidi followed his master and sat down beside him to better see how he was making corrections. As the great master had once said, "Sometimes we learn more from failures than success." He would endeavor to put this saying into practice.